I want to be so much bigger. I want to be a household name, and I want
AEW to make a women's tag division. Yes. And I want to hold those belts. I want to be the first AEW women's tag champion.
Women's Wrestling Talk, the number one women's wrestling network on the planet.
Bonjour, you're watching the Women's Wrestling Talk, the number one women's wrestling show on the planet. My name is TK Trinidad, and today we have an amazing show and, of course, nothing but amazing guests. They are the first ever Mission Pro Tag Team Champs, first ever CCW Tag Team Champs, first ever UWW Tag Team Champs, AEW Superstars. Please welcome the Renegade Twins. How are you guys doing?
Hi.
Hey, we're good. How are you?
Good to see you this morning.
Thanks. Thank you for coming on. You guys have definitely been on the scene. I've been watching your journey. A short but long journey in itself. You guys started recently, like in 2020, debuted in 2020. It's so crazy that we're in 2024. But like, how would you sum up your journey in wrestling so far?
Wild.
Yes.
In the best of ways.
Yes. I was about to say the same thing. Crazy. Unexpected, amazing, fun, all over the place.
Yeah, I don't know how to explain it. I know that might sound chaotic to some people, but it's great and it's fun and we enjoy it.
I feel like that's the business.
definitely. Now, two big things happened this year. One, y'all had, I mean, you have it every year, your birthday, turned 24 recently. To me, birthdays and New Year's are always like a good reset button for me. So now kind of hitting that 24th birthday, what do you guys have, like, goals personally and professionally?
Well, I don't think we've really thought about it too much.
I don't think
I've really processed our birthday.
The fact that we've turned 24, it hasn't really dawned on me.
But we were also separated on our birthday this year for the first time.
Yes.
I don't think it hit us the same as it normally does. Mm-hmm. And we didn't get to spend the same amount of time that we, like, normally get to spend with each other on our birthday, which actually made me very sad.
But I personally think that, I don't know, I think the 24 hasn't really sunk in, but I think that we definitely have goals. I hope that by the end of this year, we are in a new and better place as far as, like, our position in our company goes. I want to be so much bigger. I want to be a household name, and I want
AEW to make a women's tag division.
Yes.
And I want to hold those belts. I want to be the first AEW women's tag champion.
And I think
that's a personal goal of mine.
Yes. And I think that I think our goals are the same and yet have changed at the same time. At the end of the day, our goal is to expand women's wrestling and women's tag wrestling. And as life has gone on, that has diverted and changed slightly in the way that we have gotten to do that. But I think in the long run, that is still our goal. We just really want to be the best in this. And we also really want to prove that women's tag wrestling specifically is a big thing and can be a big thing.
So talking about AEW and ROH, so Robin, we saw you in a match with Thunder Rosa recently. Before we get into that, Charlotte, so we haven't seen you in a little bit. So just tell everybody, like, you know, what's going on. Not necessarily what's going on, but, you know, why we haven't seen you.
At the start of the year, I had a small incident occur that put me out for 6 months. We're quickly approaching that 6 months now. But what I've been doing during that 6 months is I've learned how to cut hair. I've become a barber as kind of like a side job while I'm out. I'm here and I'm supporting Robin and trying to help her as much behind the scenes as I can, trying to be there as much as I can for her. But we're quickly approaching the end of our 6 months. So hopefully you guys should start seeing me more back out there with her.
And when she comes back, y'all, watch out.
I mean, I like to see it. So for because I saw you, Robin, on ROH and then recently on AEW. So before we get into that match with Thunder Rosa, what's it like kind of almost being on the road by yourself? Because, I mean, you guys are twins, so you've been together for a long time.
Like, being at home by myself has not been very much fun. But
I would say that at first it was chilling. I'm by myself all the time. It was cool. It sucked when I had to get to work and I didn't have my other half there. But the traveling part of what it was cool. Mm-hmm. But after about a few weeks, like, I got very over it. I called Charlotte at one point and I'm telling her, I'm like, because I was having a conversation with myself in the elevator by myself. I literally was having a full blown, like, saying it verbally outside of my brain. And I'm like, why am I doing that? Like, that doesn't make any sense. Charlotte would typically be here, but she's not. And like, so I called her on the phone and I was like, I want you to understand that I miss you. I clearly am missing you very much because I am subconsciously just speaking out loud, thinking like, oh, there's always a second person. There's always somebody there.
Right.
Not now. So I think I absolutely am missing that. Not just, you know, the wrestling part of this and like our careers, but I miss my companion. I miss my other half.
Oh my God. I like that.
I was going to say her match the other day with Thunder. I know I called her at least 12 times in 2 hours to make sure that I knew what was going on. And I was somewhat involved in the situation, even though I couldn't be there. And
yeah.
Even I was sitting there talking about, I'm coming out from underneath the ring, guys. I'm about to run down the ramp, y'all. So, like, I get it. I just want to be back so bad, and I want to be able to travel with her and just be the Renegade Twins again, you know?
Well, I mean, I definitely feel, obviously, the love. But, I mean, also love for Thunder Rosa. Like, you guys, you know, first ever Mission Pro Tag Team Champs. And now on this, on a bigger stage, having this like amazing match with her, how did that come about, and how did you feel it went?
I feel like,
I feel like as far as the match goes, the match was fun. I had a lot of fun. We always had a great time at Mission Pro. We have so much respect for Thunder. This match yesterday was a lot of fun. I had a great time. It was a hard-hitting match. We had back and forth. It's kind of full circle for me personally. Me and Charlotte have always loved Thunder.
From NWA till now.
Yes, and we always thought that she was just great. We always, like, wished for her to mentor us, and the fact that we ever got to be there with her and be able to learn from her and be able to call her friend is wild and surreal.
She's our wrestling mom.
Yeah.
And we have a very immense respect for her. And like Robin said, it is a very full circle moment when I'm sitting at home and I'm watching Robin wrestle someone that we watched 4, 5, 6 years ago.
We watched while we were fans, and then we learned from when we were students, and not that we're not still students, but definitely super green students. Like, within our first few years of this, she helped develop who the Renegade Twins are. So to get from there, from point A to B to C, and I'm hoping the rest, you know, it's just kind of really cool. And then it was my wrestling anniversary at AEW.
Yeah.
I had no clue, but it was my three-year wrestling anniversary at AEW. So, like, Thunder was my first match at AEW ever, and it was just kind of cool that 3 years later on the same weekend that we could have a match like that, and it was cool.
So awesome. Now, with Thunder, I'm a huge fan as well. Her journey is crazy. You know, I met her when she was at Lucha Underground. And, you know, even beyond that, she's given me so much advice, and, you know, I'm not a wrestler. So is there, like, certain things, like certain advice that she's given you guys that, like, you carry with you throughout your wrestling career?
I was going to say one thing that she told us was be authentically you, be you, and don't, pardon my French, don't take shit from anybody. There's going to be a lot of people in life who put you down and tell you no. Just keep being you. And I think that that's really helped Robin and I throughout our career. I don't know if you'd say the same thing.
I would say the same thing. I'll also say this. She said something to me after this match, actually.
We're both about to start crying.
I'm not going to cry. But she said something to me after this match, and we had so much fun. We felt like we just had great chemistry, and we went out there and we had this match, and she came back and she said, prove them wrong. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise. Prove them wrong. Show why you're supposed to be here. Show them why you're here. So, like, I'm not gonna cry. But it was
I mean, wow.
I don't like you right now.
Sorry, guys. I didn't mean to do that. But I know it was very recent, but it's something that I'll always remember that she said to me.
Yeah.
She came real close to me, whispered in my ear. You know, she made sure it was a very personal thing. No one else heard it. So sorry, Thunder, I'm putting it out there.
We love you. Sorry. All right.
That's amazing. And speaking of, to me, how you guys talk about or somebody else that's impactful in your life. We just had Mother's Day. I've heard, seen interviews, how you guys talk about your mom. If you can sum up what, like, how you would describe your mom in one sentence, what would it be?
My mom is a cuddly ball of fire.
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense.
I feel like that's the best way to describe my mom. She can be the most loving person, but at the same time, if you cross her, she is a ball of fire, and she will destroy you. And I think Robin and I, we carry that off into our wrestling, where I'm more the cuddly, like, I'll just poke and poke and poke and poke, and then once it's done, Robin's coming in like a ball of fire, man. So I don't know. That's how I describe our mom, is a cuddly ball of fire in the best way possible.
I would say something similar to that. I think our mom is just passion and aggression. And
I think her passion is mistaken for aggression.
And love. I think it's all of it. I think it's all of it, because I personally am very similar to her. I'm very passionate and very aggressive, very full of love, but at the same time I'm very quick to change that. So, like, I'm very much the same. I think she's a spitball. She's a fireball. She is definitely where we get a lot of our
mannerisms and a lot of our attitude, and just who we are is a lot of our mom.
But we love her. She's the best. I think she's probably the best thing, or the best thing that's ever happened to us. She gave us life, obviously. But, you know, she's been the best mom that we could have ever asked for.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. I you know, I definitely, when you said that, it's like, I definitely relate. My mom, she will, and I say this, like, jokingly, but seriously, people, like, she will kill for me. And that's, like, a nice feeling. Like, you know, at the end of the day, like, your mom will do anything possible. And, you know, that's why I tend to not to tell her certain things, because, you know, y'all don't want to deal with that. So I definitely feel what you guys do.
Y'all don't want the smoke. Y'all don't need
that. Yeah, you don't. So I definitely feel that. Now, being twins, and then kind of giving your family dynamic, and correct me if I'm wrong. So your mother's white. Father's black, stepfather's white, correct?
Yes.
So how would you classify yourself? Because I also have family members who are, I don't know what the politically correct term is, if there is one, as far as mixed. I don't know if that's, like, okay.
I don't biracial
okay. Mixed.
Because sometimes words are changing now, and I'm just like, okay, I can't keep up. So so would you classify, like, with that being said, it's, you know, in certain arenas, because when I saw you guys for the first time, I kind of was like, okay, well, you guys look light-skinned, like, and I didn't know what your makeup was, right? And so to me, it's like, black twins in wrestling, and, you know, not necessarily taking away anything from your mom or anything like that, but it's just like, it's still a huge thing, representation, different stories, stuff like that. And so, like, what does that mean to you?
I feel, for me, that yes, as much as we are white, we are black, It is very important to me that we represent that and that we show love to that side of our lives. But it also is very important to me that we don't forget exactly what, because where we came from. We were grown, we were raised with the idea of we are the sum of all of our parts.
I was going to say, our mom taught us that we are the sum of all who have created us. Whether that be Black, White, Hispanic, Asian, it doesn't matter. You are just the sum of all the parts that have created you.
If you're right. from the city, or if you're from the country, if you're from this place or that place, if your culture is that way or this way, it doesn't matter. But with that also being said, we also recognize that Black wrestling and in the Black community, this is important. Representation and showing that we are able to do that and that we are able mm-hmm. to succeed in doing this and you can be successful as a Black wrestler is incredible and something that needs to be shown. So we do believe in that, yes. We, for the first few years of our career, we were very hesitant on it.
We found ourselves having to justify our race a lot in the first couple years.
Our skin color doesn't necessarily portray that we are Black.
I look more Hispanic than I look Black. And
I can pull off mixed because my hair color and certain features on my face. But if you were to look at us from like just kind of at first glance, no one would really assume that. We had a lot of comments that way when we first started. You're Black? No, you're not Black. We actually got called Latinas, and we were
people
part of
thought we were Thunder's kids.
Yeah, we were. People thought that. And when Latin American Day came around and like Appreciation Day came around, like we were posting those, and we had to publicly come out and say, as much as we appreciate this,
and
thank you for
the
recognition. But we don't feel comfortable claiming something that's not our culture. It's not ours. So we've worked with that a little bit, and mostly because we don't want to step on the toes of our own community
or any other community.
I don't want the other Black wrestlers to feel that as though we're not, you know, and we're taking something from them. But at the end of the day, we do claim we are Black wrestlers and we are for our community and
we
absolutely
are Black women. We do identify as Black women.
And it's very important to us that we try to show a light on that specifically, just on the Black wrestling community.
Yeah.
And we're very privileged to have been given that opportunity to help shine a light on the Black community as far as wrestling goes.
Yeah. No, I totally get where you're coming from. For instance, I'm from Canada and of West Indian descent. And there are times where in instances, especially living out here in LA, that it's just like, you know, people want to include me in the African-American experience. And it's like, no, there's a difference and there has to be a bit of an education. But just unpacking, kind of going back to certain things that you guys said, you know, when you're starting off in your career, was it, because when I saw you guys, I automatically thought Black. And I don't know if it's because I have cousins that look like you and my mom can pass as white. So like I've seen every, you know, variation in skin color and stuff like that. But when you started your career, was it more of promoters who like just assumed or like what was it where, what was kind of that experience like? And then did you like often correct people or like how did we get to this point where you're like you had to really make the line clear, like this is how we define us, this is who we are, period?
I would say it first started with that first year when we got put into the Hispanic Heritage Month poster and they had given like appreciation to us and we really had to come out and say, hey, as much as we appreciate being recognized, we're not Hispanic. We had also had the same conversation with Trey D and Duke Loves Wrestling about our race, and they really helped get our foot in the door with the Black wrestling community and help us make waves, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I would say that as well. I would say personally that I think the hard change was when we realized, for me at least, that our community, our career, the place that we decided to put ourselves permanently at the basic of it all are who we are, what is in our blood. They don't know it. They don't know who we are. they're assuming. So with that being mm-hmm. said, it was more of a, hey, we need to let people know that this is exactly who we are. I wouldn't say it was promoters too much. Like, our promoters and our friends would ask us straight up, and we would tell them that that's what it is. If they had any kind of questions about it, we would let them know.
It was more so the fans, like I said, who yes. had made the appreciation posters for a gotcha. Completely different heritage than our own. So that's when we really had to look at it and go, okay, well, the world's assuming now. Now we need to make it more clear.
That mm-hmm. as well. But well, I'll also say this, like, there was a few times where, like, when we first started, because going back to what exactly made us feel that way outside of, like, just wrestling, there's been a few times that we have been out in our own community, our own home, Atlanta, and mm-hmm. Charlotte and I have had our hair braided up, and my hair is curly, and her hair is curly, and, like, we've made sure that we accentuated that, like, we are a certain thing, and we wanted to represent our culture. So as we walk down the streets of Atlanta and we don't look black because our skin color isn't black, but the way that we're dressed mm-hmm. is cultural appropriation, and everyone mm-hmm. is calling us out for it. Everyone is screaming, oh, wow, way to steal somebody's culture. So it's a matter of, like, we wanted very, like, especially at the beginning, we wrote that line of, we don't want to be controversial and piss anyone off. But at the end right. of the day, we want to let people know who we are, absolutely,
and where we come from.
Yeah, it's oftentimes, especially when you represent two or more things, people often want you to choose. I mean, you can talk about the vice president. She claims her Jamaican descent and her Indian descent, and people are like, well, you have to pick, and it's like, no, you don't have to. So I definitely understand where you guys are coming from. I can't speak to your experience, but I can definitely feel empathetic to it, because it's frustrating, because you know what you are. And then, you know, you have people, there's so many different, I mean, that's a whole nother discussion as far as, like, colorism and stuff like that. But I just really wanted people to understand that. And then also for me to tell you, like, the impact you're making on wrestling, because there are little girls who see you and, you know, now they're going to look up to you. You know what I'm saying? Like, and this is the beautiful thing about, in particularly, Black women in wrestling, where we are right now. Because when Women's Wrestling Talk first started in 2017, I didn't think we were going to see so many champions. Like, I thought, you know, at that time it was like Naomi was it. Like, she was, you know, is like, oh, she's amazing, Black girl magic, all that stuff. But where we are right now, where we're seeing, like, the big three in WWE, and we're seeing Jannai Kai, MLW, and, you know, AEW, like, it's just an amazing thing to see. And then also seeing you guys killing it in such a short period of time. Like, I don't know if you guys realize, like, how amazing that is, you know, to be with AEW, have, like, the blessing of Thunder Rosa, all that stuff. It's just, you know, I want to give you your flowers. Keep on doing, keep on going, despite, you know, essentially what Thunder Rosa said, despite what people may think, you deserve to be where you are. You guys, all right. So you guys made mention of it at the very beginning of the interview, tag team championships for AEW. Like, that is the goal. In your mind, how do we get there?
I think if Tony sees enough of us, and as us, as fans of wrestling, because we still are fans of wrestling, mm-hmm. I think if Tony sees enough of us scream and cry for the need for a women's tag division, because if you look at it now, as I've been sitting here at home watching my coworkers for the last couple months, you can see very distinct factions that are building, and there are women that you mm-hmm. can put together and create these tag teams. And it looks like we're setting up for a really good tag team division. Mm-hmm. And I sit at home and I pray that, like, the people want to see women's tag wrestling, because it can be just as good as the men's tag wrestling if we're given the chance. But I also pray that Tony sees, hey, we're really, like, there's a setup for that there. We could really do something here. And we don't need to be the champions. I would love to absolutely be the champions. I just want women's tag wrestling to get the stage that it deserves. Can you agree with that?
Yes. I will say this as well. I think, personally, the steps that we should take have already been taken, and they're not even by specifically us, because the Renegade Twins can only do so much.
Yep.
But I think, especially, well, one of them's hurt, but I think that especially watching, especially ROH right now, there's so many going on. Our women right now are being paired, and that's beautiful. Let's talk about Red Velvet and Queen. Let's talk about Julia and Sky. Let's talk about Layla and Ella and Rachel. Let's talk about, you know what I'm saying? Like, we have a list of women now.
You got Bailey and Athena. Like, there's so many women that you
can. And that's just the ROH roster. I mean, granted, one of them was
Willow and Chris.
Yes.
Like, there, you got Saraya and Danny. There are so many women across all three of the shows that we could have a tag division in AEW, and it'd be really cool.
I think that the steps that need to be taken are already being taken. I think that what needs to happen is us, obviously, but I feel like we need to highlight that. Mm-hmm. If we are going to get that's what we're going to get for our TV time, highlight it, ladies. We need to highlight it. We are the biggest thing on the TV screen. I want that for us. I want everyone and not that we haven't already done that, these women are killing it out here. Mm-hmm. Like, I was scrolling through Twitter the other day while we were having this, after this match, and I'm like, all these posts about y'all need to wrestle this, and these women are doing this, and I love it. I love it. I think that's what needs to happen. We just need to keep going. We just need to keep pushing. What needs to keep happening is we need more TV time. We need to keep putting tag wrestling on television, and we need to keep killing it. And eventually what's going to happen is we're going to start a revolution, and everybody's going to want to watch it. And nothing else is going to be on television except for women's wrestling and women's tag wrestling at that. So that's really what I think needs to happen going next.
I like it. Now, I mean, I'm known for creating like these crazy stories. So like, you know, to me, it seems like you're getting a good push, Robin, like by yourself. But the Renegade Twins, you know, putting in the universe, come back together, AEW, ROH, and that will be the set off for the tag team division. Because just visually, like, and then storyline, like, there's twins, it's not common. So, I mean, that would be a real, and then you guys have so many firsts, Mission Pro Wrestling, like, you have so many firsts, so why not add this to the first list. So let's put that in the universe for you guys. I would love to see that, because I think beyond the wrestling community, just people who casually watch wrestling, that is just a good business idea. Cause now people are gonna be like, wait, so we have twins, like what's happening? And they're champions, what's happening there? How did we get here? So, I mean, I don't know if Tony Khan watches this, but you know, just pass the message on for anybody else who watches this, because I would love to see.
We'll send it to the inbox.
send it to the inbox. So you both kind of 4 years in the game. I mean, you had softball in the Navy before you guys started wrestling. How has that experience? Has that experience, both those experiences, translated into wrestling? Have you taken certain things from those aspects and applied it to wrestling, or is it just a complete hard stop and you did something, you know, wrestling is totally different?
I would say from my perspective, it's not very much different. What I did was I was in ROTC for a year or so when I was in high school. And from there, I knew that that's what I wanted to do with my life. I wanted to go into the Navy. Obviously, that didn't happen. but I personally, the structure, I feel, of the military, and the idea that there is always someone higher and above you that you can always learn from, and that you all, like, is there's held respect there, is always that's very much helped me specifically in this business. It's the being yelled at, the being critiqued, the softball kind of thing. Like, our father was our coach, and when our father wasn't our coach, it was our it was our dad's it was our dad's friends, so they felt comfortable with us and yelling and telling and us exactly what it was and not mincing their words and pushing us to our limits. So I feel now in wrestling, when we come backstage and or I come back from an indie match or whatever that may be, and I just had a match and someone looks at me and says, hey, this could have been better, or that could have been better, or they just tear it completely head to toe and just tell me it was not good.
Awful. Yeah.
I can take that with a grain of salt and not in the fact of I'm not listening to you and I'm not heeding your words, but I'm not taking it personally.
Right.
I understand. I understand that you're just trying to better me. At the end of the day.
For me, I took 4 years of ROTC, Marine Corps ROTC, in high school. And for me, it was either the Marine Corps or get a softball scholarship because I had played softball since I was 12. I ended up getting a softball scholarship and I went to college. This is where I learned a very, very important life lesson that I will carry with me forever. I didn't do what I was supposed to do and I lost my scholarship, which meant I had to come home. Within that, I had also gotten some injuries that now I cannot join the military because I'd always thought the military would always be there, but now there's problems that I couldn't join the military if I wanted to. But with the loss of my scholarship and having to come back home and then jumping into wrestling a year later, it really helped me put into perspective how quickly things can change and how quickly things can go away if you don't work hard. So it's a constant reminder for me to, even if it's uncomfortable and even if I don't want to continue to work and grind hard just so that I look good as an athlete, but I also don't let down my fellow athletes, if that makes sense.
As far as like bucket lists of folks that you haven't wrestled just yet, who would you like to wrestle?
I want to wrestle Haley J and her mama.
That's a good answer. I want to wrestle Haley J and her mama.
If I have to say specifically one person that we haven't wrestled yet that, like, I really, really want to wrestle, those two women, I would love to wrestle them. We have sat in the living room with Dad many times and watched those two women wrestle, come up with promos, just come up with different kinds of storylines. I would absolutely love to wrestle those two women, but that's just me personally.
I'm trying to think here. Not that there's not anybody that I wouldn't want to wrestle on, like on out there. The first person that came to my mind, and unfortunately, I think it's singles just because I'm singles right now. But the first person that came to my mind was Mercedes. I want to work her so
I want to work with her.
So I understand that too. But if that wasn't a possibility, that would be okay. I want to work her. I want to be in the ring with her and be in her whole vicinity. I want to do that. It was really cool when I got to wrestle Ruby Soho. It was really cool to me. And when I came backstage and we were done with everything, I told her, I said, hey, man, this is going to sound very, like, I'm a mark. I'm the biggest fan right now. But I just want to let you know that I had a moment in my brain when you were kicking me in the face that I was wrestling.
She's like, I just got kicked in the face by Ruby Soho.
Dude, I was like, oh, my God. I'm wrestling Ruby Soho right now.
But she knew we both felt that way. And she's one of the absolute sweetest people in the entire world.
But it's just things like that. I think that was the very first person in my brain. I would love to just share the ring with her. I get that.
And so how do we, I mean, Mercedes is with AEW. So how do we get this match? Cause it's possible. It's not like, you know, a Charlotte Flair. Cause she's a WWE lifer and, you know, eventually, cause I know you guys did have a tryout that might come in your future, but right now you're with AEW and Mercedes is there. So how do we make that happen?
I know. I'm hoping. My fingers are crossed. I have yet to work on the same day as her, so I'm hoping.
I was going to say, we have yet to meet her backstage, so we're still waiting on that day.
All right. But Double or Nothing is coming up, in three or four weeks. So are you guys going to be out in Vegas, or?
I think so, actually. I think she might be.
We'll see what happens.
But we'll see. I would love to watch her in that match. I think her and Willow are going to tear it down.
So beyond wrestling, you know, what do you guys do for fun?
I crochet. Yes. I'll go get something real quick. I'll be right back.
So yes, as she does that, I do a lot of like coloring and painting. That's what I do mm-hmm. for fun. I don't do very much often. If I'm not wrestling, I'm probably sleeping more often than not, or training, which is back-ended wrestling. Like, yeah. I really don't do much else.
Okay. Oh my gosh, it's so cute.
But yeah, that's how
long did
guy.
How long did it take you to make that?
This one maybe took me 2 hours to make. It wasn't that hard. But I just finished my mom her Mother's Day blanket. But yeah, I crochet, and I've recently gotten a barber apprentice license, and I've been mm-hmm. learning how to cut hair.
So what made you go to like that? Because there's so many things that you can do, like, you know, you in that field, like barbering or hairdressing or like nail technician. So what made you want to do barbering?
So my grandfather has owned a barbershop in Tucker, Georgia for the last 52 years.
Oh, wow.
Yes. So he taught my mom how to cut hair 20 years ago. And they've been working in there forever. My mom took a short break. She went off and made her own business and has recently come back to cutting hair. Mm-hmm. And when I was set off to the side with this break that I'm having to take, I started mm-hmm. going up to the barbershop every day and just being a little bit of a help by like sweeping and mopping and folding towels, just doing what I could to make a little extra money. Mm-hmm. And I looked at my granddad one day and he was like, why don't you just get your license? Because you're in here every day. It shouldn't take you that long. And because I'm apprenticing under my grandfather and my mom, they're allowing me the time to take off for wrestling when I need to take off for wrestling when I do come back, and still allow me to get my license. But the entire point was to make the barbershop 3 generations deep. So we have my grandfather, my mom, and me.
Wow. So
yeah,
that speaks to like the business and entrepreneurial aspect of your mother and your grandfather, and there's a whole business as far as wrestling wise. What were like the business aspects? Because, you know, like you guys are saying, like you get into the ring, you work out, you do the matches, but the business of being a wrestler, what's that experience been like to you guys?
We were very fortunate. I'm gonna speak on this one for a second, but I feel like we were very fortunate to have our parents help us with that, because they both created small successful businesses, and they mm-hmm. were both their own business owners. And especially with my grandfather too, we were given a lot of insight from multiple different business owners, small business owners who have been extremely successful. Mm-hmm. So I think God blessed us there when it comes to that.
Yeah, I would say that the getting stuff done side of the wrestling and the bookings and the merch and making sure that your LLCs are there and your trademarked and this, that, and the third, like the actual business side, Charlotte and I absolutely would have been way behind the curve if it wasn't for our parents. And I don't mean that in a way of like we would have never had an LLC. We would have never had our joint bank accounts and a way that we handle our own financials.
Or,
you know,
the fact that the Renegade Twins is actually trademarked.
Yeah.
So we would have never been able to do that ourselves. Our parents helped us go through the 2-year process of getting our name trademarked. So, like I said earlier, having the resources and being blessed with the resources that we were blessed with has helped us immensely to learn quite how important it is to actually answer your emails and get these LLC licenses and all these other different things that we've gotten to do, and that has mm-hmm. helped propel us in wrestling as far as the business side goes.
Yeah. Wow, the trademark part, because I know a lot of wrestlers are doing that now, but they've been established in the game for a while. What was who brought that up to you, or how did you know like this was the path to go for your names, to trademark your names?
My mom.
I honestly, I was going to say, I wouldn't even say it was mom. I can't tell you exactly because I, in all honesty, I understand where you're coming from with most people don't trademark their names until they've made a very established name for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And we have yet to do that. I'm not going to toot our horn. We have not done that. But I think, I can't remember what exactly it was. I know it was very soon after our WWE tryout.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mom had come to us one day. Mom and Dad, I guess, had had a conversation late one night after we had gone to sleep or something, and had talked about how they thought we should trademark our name. Robin and I thought it was a waste of time. We didn't understand why we were doing it, but Mom and Dad, mm-hmm. even though we had protested against it, had said, hey, we're still going to do this because one day it's going to mean something. They believed in us more than we believed in ourselves. And if I personally believe it was our parents who helped us get that.
I also, now that you say that, I remember there was a point where we had posted online that we had like four new t-shirt designs. And they all said mm-hmm. the renovations on them, all of them.
And but they were not our designs.
Well, they were our designs. We posted them. We had them paid for and made. But when we mm-hmm. posted them, people took them down. And you can look online now that you'll see a bunch of off-brand Renegade shirts. Technically, they're not. They're our designs. We just couldn't ever sell them. And because our name wasn't trademarked, we couldn't go back and go, hey, you need to get that off. You can't sell that.
Yeah.
So now that it is trademarked, we can do that. But I'm pretty sure that that's what triggered it. Was we got like four or five different t-shirts just stolen, and we were like, all right, wow. We gotta figure that out.
Yeah, it's the social media, the biz, like it's just it's a lot. So, you know, definitely shout out to your parents for like helping to navigate that, because if done right, you know, you're better than most. But if done incorrectly, you know, not only you're doing the wrestling thing, now you have to figure out like shirts and merch. And, you know, I had one wrestler, she was talking about how you would make more money printing your own shirts, but now you have to come up with, you know, the front end of it. And, you know, how do you navigate that? And, you know, drop shipping is like, it's a whole nother thing. And then also to be great at wrestling is just the balance in it is just, it's a lot. Just me thinking about it is just like, this is very daunting. So shout out to your parents.
Yeah, we were very blessed with our parents. I will say that they did tell us to do it ourselves. Granted, they were there to hold our hands, but for the most part, or really, let me not say hold our hands, but guide us in the way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But it was very much, hey, you need to do this.
They opened up a lot of doors, and once the doors were open, they took it as a, hey, we're going to teach you how to do this. I'm not just going to do it for mm-hmm. you. So they encouraged, yeah. they were the constant, hey, have you guys? And I think without that support system, that we definitely would not have the LLC that we have, or the trademark that we mm-hmm. have, or our big cartel, or any mm-hmm. of our merch that we do get printed locally. And like, we wouldn't have any of those things without our parents. We were blessed with a very, very, very good support team that yeah. a lot of people in this industry are not blessed with.
Yeah. No, I definitely agree. I mean, I often tell, you know, podcasters, like, you know, go and open up like a DBA or an LLC and write all of that stuff off. And, you know, you can only tell people things, but they don't jump on it. It's just kind of like, well, I don't know what to tell you. With everything that's going on, you know, you guys stated some of your 2024 goals and beyond with the tag team and stuff like that. Has anybody reached out to you beyond the AEW like sphere, beyond Thunder Rosa, beyond QT, that's kind of like let you know that you guys are on the right path?
There's been a number of people.
I was going to say.
I don't want to say I couldn't put names on it because I can. I just feel like.
I will say a year ago, Billy Corgan told us when we won his titles at NWA mm-hmm. that he thought we were going down a good path, and that he thought that we were marketable and that we should keep doing what we were doing. Mm-hmm. I can also say that TNA really enjoyed what we were doing. Impact, they really enjoyed what we were doing a year and a half to 2 years ago. And they said, Gail Kim said that we were going down the right track with what we were doing and our characters and how we wrestled. And there's a lot of older wrestlers like Glacier, who, yes, is our coach, but very much went out of his way to let us know.
Cody Rhodes told us that.
He gave us our name. Ernest the Cat Miller. You know, he's done that. There's been a few people over the years that have reached out to us and said, hey, you guys are really going out of your way to do something cool, and I think you guys should keep it up.
To say Ricardo Rodriguez, Chris Marvel, there's a lot of people that have touched us in our career that have said something along the lines of, you guys are doing a very good job.
And most of these people have had a hand on in our careers. Most of those people either we've spent time within the ring, spent time listening to, asking questions, trying to get to understand their mindset and what's going on. Most of those people are people that we tried very hard to take something from and apply it to our careers.
And you just said something, I might have missed it. So you said Cody Rhodes gave you guys your name?
Yes, Cody and QT.
Cody and QT, yeah. They called us the twins
all the time, the twins. And we called ourselves the Renegades. And Cody looked at us one day, Cody and QT, and they were like, why don't y'all just call yourself the Renegade Twins? And it stuck ever since then. So here we are, 4 years later, 3-4 years later, talking about that Renegade Twins.
Yeah, that name just embodies you guys, like what you guys talked about, how you described your mother, like the extension of everything and the combination and stuff that's a brilliant name, and good thing you guys have it trademarked and LLC.
Right.
It's all tying in, it all makes sense. I kind of want to finish up on a fun note. I want to kind of let people know the stuff that we were talking about as far as pets and animals and stuff like that. So, you know, just give a little love to your animals, talk a little bit about them. And, you know, because I am now a dog mom.
Let me go get them real quick. I'm going to get them so you guys can see them.
She's gone. I'll fill you in on what the dogs are. Okay. We have two little pups. One is named Biscuit. One is named Hercules. They're both boxer pit chihuahua mixes, which sounds crazy, but they're super cute and super small. At least
the
mine is.
Was a boxer pit. Hi, Hercules.
That
was a chihuahua.
Come here.
Oh my gosh.
Say hello.
Thank you.
Say hello. And then Biscuit. This is Lady Biscuit.
Oh my god.
These are our babies. This one's mine. Aww. This is for hey.
And this one's
not in my face.
This one's Biscuit. She's a good girl.
Oh, it's so cute. Yes, I love it. Oh, I do the same thing when my dog is like, no, we can do the love, but not
here. Nice.
Not leave that out. Last question. What type of music guys listen to? What's your favorite hype song?
Wow. It changes all the time.
I wouldn't say mine changes all the time, but I would say that if there was any song in the world that could make me want to just let's go, like gets my spirit hype, like I'm ready to take down the world, I would say it's Hail Mary by Tupac. I love myself some Tupac, but that song specifically, it makes my blood boil. And I want to go.
So I love that song. I have two different songs in my brain. One's a Tupac song, and it's Wonder Why They Call You Bitch. And then, which is kind of stupid. And then Salt and Pepper, None of Your Business. Those are two songs that, to me, anytime it comes on, I'm like, let's fucking go.
Oh my, I love it. But then it's like, my question is like, y'all so young though. Like, did your mom introduce you to these songs?
So we didn't have computers as kids. We didn't have anything like that. Mom got all of us little MP3 players when the iPods were coming out. iPods for three kids were way too much money and we were going to break them. So she got the off-brand MP3 players and a set of headphones, and we each got one in different colors. She uploaded all her music, only her music,
So there was children's church music in there. There was Tupac and Biggie. You had Travis Tritt and Hank Williams Jr. You had something from all over the place. So, like, we don't, when you ask, like, what our specific, like, hype song is, those right. are songs that get me hype, but I also listen to Broadway, and I listen to a lot of country music, and
yeah.
I listen to a lot of alternative music. Like, I listen to everything underneath the sun, and I enjoy it all. Mm-hmm. I love music, just period.
Oh my gosh.
I could listen to...
I love anything that makes me feel something.
I was going to say, I could listen to Elvis sing in the garden and get hype, you know? So it really just depends on what the mood of the day is.
That is true. Yeah. That is so true. I was sitting on the plane yesterday, or going to get on the plane yesterday, and I was bopping in my brain to Hamilton, like just singing it in my brain. I was having a great time dancing to myself.
Oh my God. Oh, wow.
Which isn't a normal everyday thing, but I was that day.
I mean, I'm down for it. Man, I really want to one day meet your mom because she sounds amazing. She's.
We'll have to have her on an interview one day.
Yeah, she sounds amazing. But I'm gonna definitely thank you guys for your time. It's been so fun, and I like I said before, I'm just so excited to see what's gonna be the possibilities for you guys because you're just starting out. There's so many where we are as far as women's wrestling and wrestling in general. It's a great time to watch, and it's a great time for you guys to be in. So I can't wait to see it all for you guys. But for folks who are not following you guys, which I think you guys are stupid for doing that, let people know where they can find you and where they can buy your merch.
So you can find us on Instagram and Twitter at Renegade. I'm pretty sure our Instagram is renegade.twins,
yep.
And our Twitter is renegade_twins. On both of those pages, you'll be able to find both mine and Charlotte's personal pages. I'm going to make you look for that a little bit.
I was gonna say it's a name.renegade too, so you'll see it.
You'll find it. And our merch, you can go on our Big Cartel, or better yet, come get it in person. Come find us at any show that we're at and come get some Renegade merch.
There it is. Thank you guys so much for joining. This is, I know it's gonna be the first of many. So like I said, I'm really excited to see your rise to dominance as being the first tag team champs for AEW. Put that in the universe. But thank you guys. Thank you guys so much for watching. You guys can follow me everywhere at TK Trinidad. You can follow Women's Wrestling Talk everywhere at WW Talk Pod. Thank you guys so much for watching Women's Wrestling Talk, the number one women's wrestling show on the planet. Ciao for now.
Thanks for joining WWT. Don't forget to like us on all social media platforms at WW Talk Pod. Like and subscribe on all video and audio platforms like yesterday, my G. And check out our website at www.talkpod.com. Thanks for watching Women's Wrestling Talk, the number one women's wrestling network on the planet.